Let us open our worship together by saying responsively Psalm 23. It's number 754 in your hymnal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll give you another minute to find it, sorry. Mm. 754. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Leads me beside still waters, restores my life. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Please stand and sing with us number 139, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Words we sing together. Let us continue to join our voices to proclaim our faith in the one God by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Be seated. And now it's a special time with Miss Terry, children's time. Fine. Hi, Abel. How's it going, buddy? I like your socks. Amen. Yes. Perfect. It's perfect. He's resting. He's obedient to the gospel.
He's resting and relaxing on this. A lot of times, Jesus, after he had preached this big, huge crowd, healed them, and brought us the words that we talked about.
Amen. Thank you. Would you join me in singing Jesus Loves Me to these children? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Thank you. We are so thrilled that we have children in our midst. And I always like to remind folks that Jesus took the little child and put that child in the center of the community and said, you got to learn from them about how to come to me. So that is what we do. Thank you. What are your joys and concerns this morning? Of course, I'm going to go first. And I'm just, again, rejoicing that I have a healthy new grandson that everybody came through well and healthy. I also learned last night late that there was a bad tornado in Iowa. And I have a friend who works at the Vermeer plant, and that Vermeer plant was hit pretty bad, but everybody was okay. So remember the folks who from that tornado and the folks who were reeling from this tragic duck boat accident out in Branson, Missouri. What other concerns and joys would you lift up?
Well, the family of those twins that drowned, the little boy, Mr. Hurd, he's in bad shape. But the little girl, they couldn't bring her back. They fell into the swimming pool, and the woman babysitting with them, I guess, went to the door to get another child. I don't know where she was at. Anyway, that's when she found him in the pool.
Where was this?
Nice.
Oh, God.
Sure, they're having an extremely hard time.
Oh, jeepers.
My nephew, Brett.
Brett.
Update on Alice. I don't know if you've heard me say it before, but it never ends. Neurologically, everything is on hold until after we deal with cancer as far as doing any kind of additional studies to get a definitive answer on the memory issue. That's kind of on hold. Unfortunately, the oncology report was not that great. Not good at all. The cancer that she has is considered an aggressive genetic cancer. The likelihood of return is extremely high. But because of her health conditions, primarily the neurological, he would not recommend chemo at all, which in a lot of ways I'm pleased with that because I just don't think Alice is healthy. Able to handle all that. But, so do we do, what's our treatment? Well, now we can't make a decision on treatment until we do a PET scan, because due to the aggressiveness of the cancer, he wants to do a full body PET scan to ensure that there's no cancer hiding somewhere else in the body. We do that on Tuesday, and then on Thursday we'll meet with him and hopefully move forward with some ideas for treatment.
Okay.
I know they say that God never puts more on you than he knows you can handle, but he's pushing my limits right
now.
I know Alice needs your prayer. I need your prayer. Dad is, many of you know Dad, because he was at one point was here. He's doing fine, but I see him, I guess, going down a little. Things bothering more and more. So keep him in your prayers as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any others? All right. Well, God is with us. So let us tune our awareness, our hearts, to that fact. And it is a fact. Just like even when the sun is hidden by clouds, the sun is still there. Even when our feelings don't reflect it, God is still there. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, merciful God, life is filled with mess. And we cry out to you like those people in the Holy Scriptures that cry out in lament, that cry out in the Psalms, the prophets who cry out on behalf of the people. We cry out to you this morning, O God. We cry out in rejoicing for the gift of new life, for the gift of people who celebrate their birth in this month, for the gift of the celebration of marriages and relationships. And we cry out in agony over lost lives, over life-threatening illnesses, over a burden and burdens that just seem insurmountable and too heavy to carry. God, we know you hear our cries, and I ask that you hear our cries now, especially those that we didn't name out loud, but those burdens, any shadows of shame that are hiding in the corners of our hearts and minds, any weights of guilt, any chains that are binding us, keeping us in cages, I ask that you set us free from guilt and shame, set us free from fear by casting out fear and guilt and shame with your perfect love. God, we need you, and we thank you that we don't even have to say it out loud. But when we do, when we confess with our lips, it changes things, especially when we say the name Jesus. For even the demons recognize the power of his name and they shudder and flee. I ask that where we are feeling the oppression of spiritual warfare, that you will break that bond, and in the name of Jesus, hedge your Holy Spirit around each one of us and around us as a congregation. We pray for your people everywhere, that you will infuse us with such hope, that you will continually bring the compassionate Jesus into our lives and into our midst, and help us be that compassionate Jesus to others. We thank you that you are our good shepherd, and that you bring us together as a flock. Guide us, guard us, protect us, nourish us, and equip us, that we may be your whole and healed people, not only for our sakes, but that we might go forth to pour out and shepherd others. We pray in the name of Jesus, who teaches us to pray together whenever we pray, to pray like this, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is a gift to get to be givers. And I'm thankful for those who give of their time, their talents, their witness, their service, and their money. All of you, as our ushers come forward, never forget that we participate in bringing God's kingdom on earth. We are making the prayer come true on earth as it is in heaven. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these gifts. Ask that you bless them, multiply them, that your kingdom will come and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us. There is a balm in Gilead.
There is a ball.
All God's people say amen. 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 That was beautiful. We are so blessed to have wonderful music leadership and just very inspiring. This morning's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark. It's chapter 6, verses 30 through 34, and then it skips a little chunk because we're going to do that part next week. I don't know why the lectionary does that, but it does. And then verses 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring in the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, as I stand in this space now, I ask that you show up through me. God, please let your Holy Spirit mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears, that their hearts will be touched, that their lives might be transformed, that they might hear your word. Please speak through me, and if not through me, in spite of me. But let you be experienced and heard and felt for the sake of Jesus and his reign in our hearts. Amen. So, the title of the sermon, Jesus is like Walmart. I was kind of desperate. You know, Wanda needed a title. And I thought, well, jeepers, he's everywhere, just like Walmart, and he's kind of a one-stop shop. So that's how that title came about. But really, that's about the extent of it. That's all you're going to hear about Walmart in this sermon. The first readers, I'm going to start with a little bit of historical background, a little backdrop for this particular scripture. The first readers of it, the first ones who maybe heard Mark's gospel, heard when they heard the word shepherd, their ears would have perked up. That would have been a very familiar phrase to them, to hear of Jesus being thought about in the terms of a shepherd and the people being like sheep. Sheep without a shepherd was meant to be a critique of the rulers of Israel, some of the religious leaders of Israel. I am going to get tape next week. There we go. It's a critique because all through the Old Testament, we have prophets who are proclaiming things on behalf of God, where God is saying, I've got these the shepherds, but they're not feeding the sheep. Mark's drawing from this tradition of Moses and the prophets. In Numbers 27, for example, Moses has a prayer in which he asks God to appoint his successor. He's getting old. He's brought him through the promised land. Who's going to take this task up of leading the people of Israel over into the promised land? And Moses asks God to send someone who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep without a shepherd. Or today's Old Testament reading from the lectionary, the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 23 says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord." He's criticizing the religious leaders for not taking care of the people of Israel. The Lord continues, "Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." The prophet Zechariah picks up this theme by saying their own shepherds have no pity on them. And then finally, the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34 speaks of shepherds who don't feed the sheep, Israel's kings who feed and enrich themselves while ignoring the needs of the people. Ezekiel says, "Thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel who've been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for the wild animals. The Lord God then said, I will look for my sheep and take care of them myself. Just as a shepherd looks for lost sheep, I will be their shepherd and will let them graze on Israel's mountains and in the valley and fertile fields. They will be safe as they feed on grassy meadows and green hills." Sounds like the psalm we read, doesn't it? "I promise to take care of them and keep them safe, to look for those who are lost and bring back the ones that wander off, to bandage those that are hurt and protect the ones that are weak." And in that is the context. Mark, it's almost as if, you know, the community would assume all this, because especially the Jews, they would know this because this was their tradition. And in walks Jesus to do everything that Ezekiel just said. Everything Ezekiel just pronounced to the community from the Lord, to care, to keep safe, to look for those who are lost, bring back ones that wander off, to bandage the hurt and protect those that are weak. That's what Jesus does. It's as if God is saying, enough. I was driving all the children around yesterday in the minivan, and Graciela, our 6-year-old granddaughter, and Mikey, our 4-year-old grandson, were in the way back of the van, and we kept hearing, "Mikey's looking at me, she's touching me, she hit me, she's saying things to me." And watching my daughter deal with this brought back such good memories of when I had my 2 daughters in the back of the van, and I would say, "Don't make me pull this car over." And it's as if God says, "Don't make me pull this car over." But God pulled the car over, and we got Jesus. God, like the parent who has pulled over the minivan, sets Jesus on the scene as the good shepherd of the sheep. Seeing the large crowd, Jesus is moved with compassion. I had a lot of fun looking into this scripture, and I learned a new word. Splochnitzomai. I had to like do the little phonetic spelling. Splochnitzomai. Its root word is splochna, which means entrails or bowels, because for the Greek speaker, the locus of emotions were in the guts, much like we put our locus of emotions in the heart, and we have that little heart emoji. Can you imagine an entrails emoji? I love you with all my entrails. But the word compassion is really meant to connote to the reader or the hearer that Jesus is moved in his entrails. His guts are torn apart upon seeing. Compassion doesn't quite get it. You know, sometimes we have to have a different word or that etymology, the root of the word, in order to really get at what was going on. That Jesus, God himself, had his own guts torn apart at the sight of all these people. And he says they were like sheep without a shepherd. God reclaims God's flock as the sheep, and Jesus as the true shepherd. And Jesus does all the things. Israel strayed away. You know, we have that arc of the Bible, and we have God created humankind, and God gave the rules of order for humankind, and then humankind strayed away, and God brings them back, and they stray away. You know, it's this whole arc of the history of God and God's people. So how do people get strayed away? Well, I think it was C.S. Lewis that says, we nibble off the path one blade of grass at a time. I asked myself all the time, you know, I was thinking about this sermon, how did they get so scattered? And I ask myself that every day, how do I get so scattered? It's one blade of grass at a time. It's thinking that maybe I don't need God. I happen to be a very independent person. After probably 25, 26 years of marriage, my husband finally looked at me and he said, you know, you're really hard to do things for. And I was like, oh, okay. But see, I'm like one of those, I do it myself and I don't need anybody, thank you very much. But his love language is service. And so for him to show me love, he wanted to do for me. Well, I've changed my tune and I'm really good at letting him serve me now. But sometimes our stubbornness can be that blade of grass. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we stray as sheep, or Israel strayed because the direction wasn't clear. We're trying to follow the shepherd. We're trying to connect to God, but we're just, you know, the signal's fuzzy or cloudy. I've been there. I don't know if you have, but I've been there plenty of times. Sometimes it's just not fun. You know, we read that beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, and it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, that kind of comfort, you know what the rod and staff do, right? Hey, get back in line, sheep. You know, it's a swat on the butt. And that sometimes isn't so fun to get that little loving boot from God. We can get scattered because God provides, but Israel rejects. We can get scattered because God provides, but we can get these funny blades of grass and we nibble off the path because God doesn't force. God doesn't force compliance. God doesn't coerce. God provides and offers. God gives us Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And God's people are free to accept being shepherded by God or not. Sheep are vulnerable. And we, like sheep, are so too. And we hate it. You know, sometimes we talk about sin as being a list of do's and don'ts. Don't drink, don't play cards, don't dance, don't wear open-toed shoes. I've heard it all, right? But really, sin is that first blade of grass, that stubbornness, that I do it myself, that refusal to be shepherded. And here's the real title of the sermon. If we're going to be shepherded, if we're going to be like sheep, and be guided by Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we got to be vulnerable. We got to be willing to be led. When we say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, those are powerful words because it's saying out loud, I'm willing, God, to be prodded, if necessary, back into the pasture. And we don't like vulnerability. But that's exactly what the crowd of people subjected themselves to. The people who flocked, like a flock of sheep, flocked to Jesus and allowed themselves to be vulnerable with him. You know, the people who go to AA get this. They get it, and they have some of the best relationships with God because of it, because they realize that they really, truly are so totally dependent on a higher power, on someone other than themselves. And that's what this crowd did. We're not told what kind of sickness they had. We're just told that, man, oh man, they were like a magnet to Jesus. They were drawn to him. They saw something in him. And they knew that if they just brushed by the hem of his garment, the fringe on his cloak, that they would be healed. We're not told the nature of the sickness. My guess is they're probably just like us, all over the place. Probably some dealing with physical illnesses, some emotional, some spiritual wounds. But a wound is a wound is a wound. And the Latin word, we get the word vulnerability from the Latin word vulnus. It means wound. It means open, exposed, defenseless, and weak, at risk. And the people come to Jesus and are risk that exposure. They risk exposing themselves in front of one another and are healed. And so vulnerability is risky. The title should have been, "Let's Be Vulnerable, You Go First." So, I'm going to go first. Here we go. I'm going to be vulnerable now. I'm going to take a risk. In my, you know, you've heard me talk about like my bag of ninja tricks. I like to think all too often that I can be, you know, just me without God enough. And I fought God for a lot of years. And I would get into a local church and I would completely burn out. So I'm learning every day on my knees, vulnerable to God, because I can't do this without God. But the biggest vulnerability is being vulnerable with you all, because I'm weird and I'm afraid you won't like me. I'm a Yankee. I'm kind of an old hippy-dippy who likes rock and roll music. I'm irreverent. My friend makes a t-shirt that says, "I love Jesus, but I cuss a little." And I'm crazy about Jesus and the kingdom. Crazy about it. And last night, as I was struggling to get this sermon to come together, I looked at that picture of my new little grandson and I just started weeping. And I realized I had to go first. I had to go first with y'all. Because on the bulletin it says we're a grace space. And I desperately want us to be a grace space as a church community. But if I'm going to help lead us into that, I have to model it, and I have to go first. So here's vulnerability part two. I was weeping because several years ago, this daughter that just gave birth to this child and I were having some conflict. And the conflict was to the point where I said some really bad things to God. And I'm standing here to tell you that God can handle it, okay? God can handle it. And God loved me and held me and has brought me through. And the difficulty was around the choices that my daughter was making. She had chosen to drop out of college and get married and start having babies. And so that meant the death of my dream for her, my agenda, really. I mean, my dream for her was happiness, be happy, healthy, and safe, right? But my plan, my agenda for her was finish college, you know, live out my agenda. And last night, I looked at this baby whose name is Christopher, and that means Christ bearer. And she's given birth to her fourth child, and his name is Christ bearer. And I was deeply convicted of God's patience with me and God's healing love. And now I have a Christ bearer from this daughter. So, on the other side of meeting this compassionate Jesus, if you dare to be vulnerable and go to him, is hope, is restoration, is redemption. And I'd like for us, as we close out our time together today, to say this 23rd Psalm again out loud. We'll just read the whole thing together out loud, out of the hymnal. And as we do, we'll be making a statement, kind of like, as for me and my house, we're committed to being vulnerable together. Because on the other side of that vulnerability is hope and belonging and such radical community that the world won't be able to stay away. Will you join me? I think it was 7:54 in the hymnal. And make a commitment when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, make a commitment to being led by God, to be shepherded by Jesus, whether it means being held and comforted, whether it means having the rod and staff give us a little nudge. Because in all things, we say this about a shepherd whose entrails are torn apart over us and all that threatens to oppress us and bring us down. Will you read it out loud with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my life, leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Thanks be to God for the hope that is always, always on the side, on the other side of vulnerability. Amen.
Please, come ye sinners, poor and needy.
arise and go in peace to Jesus and let him embrace you and find the hope of the charms that are in him. Go in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart.